Today I will continue the talks on the asava, the defilements which cause the mind to go bad. And today's topic is the subject on the subject of removing or discarding vinotanapahatapa. Doing away with the defilements by discard. And this means discarding the unwholesome states of mind as they arise. Defilements in Buddhism, there are three kinds. There are the kamakilesa, which are the actions which defile oneself, actions of killing or abusing, hurting other beings, actions of stealing or cheating, or actions of speech, telling lies and so on. These are the coarse defilements. The moderate defilements are the ones which exist in the mind. These are the five hindrances. So we have kama chandha, payapada, dinamita, uddhaccha kukuccha, vichikicca, which are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, worry and restlessness, and doubt. In easy terms, when we're practicing, we use words which are easy to remember and easy to put into practice. Liking, disliking, drowsiness, distraction, and doubt. And these are called the moderate defilements. These are the defilements which are more subtle than actions or speech, or bad actions or bad speech, but they're still bad things, as they lead to suffering inside and they can lead to action in the future. Then there are the subtle defilements, which are the anusaya, which are called latent, in the sense that they aren't something which has arisen, but they are that which causes the defilements to arise. So there's kama raga, patika, citti mana. Titi, mana, pava, rakha, avicha, and uddhaccha, and so on. There are seven. These are the subtle defilements. There's sensual lust, or the anusaya, which leads to sensual lust. Patika, which means the tendency to dislike things. So these are opposites. Some things we favor them, some things we have a tendency to dislike by our nature. And this is an inherent character trait, which leads us to anger and which leads us to greed. And there is wrong view and there is conceit, there is restlessness, there is pavaraga, that desire to be. The inclination to want to be this or want to be that. And avicca, which is ignorance. These are the subtle defilements. But here we're talking about the moderate defilements, the ones which exist in the mind. And this is a very practical thing, that in meditation we are practicing to remove the thoughts as they arise. So when a thought of sensuality arises, liking this or liking that, wanting this or wanting that, we don't allow it to build. We don't allow it to become more. The Pali is vinodheti. We do away with it. Vinodheti. We remove it or dispel it right away. We don't allow it to grow. We send it off into nothingness. We do away with it. When we cause for it not to be, we cause it to drive it out of our minds. The Pali phrase. And this is accomplished in terms of sensuality, it's accomplished by focusing on the loathsomeness of the body or of the things around us. So when we have lust, a very simple way to do away with lust or desire is to really examine the object and come to see for ourselves whether it truly is desirable. We can look at it and see where actually it's something which is organic and is perhaps undesirable in its real form. For instance, the human body. And we look at it as something desirable. But if we consider carefully, we can see that this is only because we ourselves are human. If we look at an animal body, we don't find it at all attractive. But if a certain animal looks at another animal's body of the same type, they will find it equally attractive. So when a dog looks at a dog, it seems attractive. When a pig looks at a pig, the pig seems attractive. And it's just so when a human looks at a human, the human looks attractive. But if we look at these bodies from a objective point of view, they don't seem really all that attractive in the end. They have all sorts of liquids and fluids pouring out and moving around, and smells arising, falling apart. Something like the Lord Buddha said, like a very thin, flimsy bag with holes in it, full of rotten, disgusting, defiled things. Like we just pulled a bag out of a cesspool, full of filth, full of excrement and so on, and the bag has holes in it, and we carry it around, and so it's leaking all the time and so on. This is a very simple way to do away with sensual thoughts. When we have thoughts of anger or ill will arise in the mind, the way to do away with them, a very simple way, is to bring up thoughts of loving kindness. So when we have anger towards someone or hatred towards someone, we can consider some of the good things, good qualities about that person. Perhaps they say bad things, but they don't do bad things. Or they do bad things, but they say good things. Or they do and they say bad things, but their minds are sometimes very pure. And we think about some of the good things they have done, whereas they do bad things in this way, but in this way they do good things. They say bad things here, but other times they will say good things. Or we simply send out our love for them, wishing that they be happy and be free from suffering, and realizing that all beings are heirs of their karma. When they do bad deeds, they will be the ones who get the bad result. And feeling sorry for them, wishing for them to be free from suffering. May they be able to leave behind their evil ways. This is a very simple way when we think about people in this way, wishing for them happiness, even though they may have done bad things for us. A very simple way to overcome thoughts of anger. But with thoughts of delusion, and delusion here is very hard to understand, very hard to pinpoint, very hard to catch and realize when it exists in our mind. It often takes someone else to point it out to us. Delusion is things like wrong view, believing that bad deeds are good deeds are bad deeds, or there's no difference between a good deed or a bad deed. Bad deeds don't bring bad results, good deeds don't bring good results, and so on. Conceit or comparing or judging. For instance, we might hold on to a wrong view. We might hold on to the view that killing is a good thing, or stealing is a good thing, or so on. And we might hold on to it as a view because of a tradition. And we can look at religious views. And religious views, often the only reason people hold on to them is because they are our views. And we can see people saying, we are this religion or we are that religion and we do it this way, we do that. And we can see how really this conceit is the only reason often why people hold on to their views. Really, there's nothing particular about their view which is more wholesome or more beneficial than the view of other people, except for the fact that it is theirs, and they hold on to it to be theirs. This is mine. And they compare and they judge based simply on their conceit and their judging of different views and different ways of being. Or we have conceit on a very simple level, the conceit of comparing ourselves to other people. Meditators comparing their practice to others. People in work or in society comparing themselves on terms of their social status and so on. Conceit, and then we have ignorance. These things are all under the heading of delusion. Ignorance is simply not knowing. When we allow our ignorance to come up, we say that we don't understand things, or when we out of ignorance say something which is not true, not knowing that it is false, or not knowing that it goes against the truth, saying that for instance that old age is not suffering, or not that there is no suffering in this world, or so on. And the method to overcome delusion, of course, is in the same way to create the opposite. So with greed and with anger, we have a way to do away with them on a temporary level, but because they are also based in delusion, due to ignorance, due to view, and due to conceit, we give rise to craving and give rise to aversion. Because of that, because we haven't done away with the delusion which underlies them, we will always have the danger of further arising of greed and of anger. So the method to overcome the delusion is also to create the opposite. The opposite, of course, is insight or wisdom. The opposite of ignorance is understanding. The opposite of delusion is clarity or insight. Vipassana, clear seeing, or seeing through, or seeing into, seeing clearly. And how this is brought about is simply by creating the opposite thought. So when there is ignorance or there's darkness in the mind, we create light, we create clarity. So when we say to ourselves, rising or falling, at the moment when the stomach is rising or falling, instead of allowing for all sorts of views and conceits and ignorance and doubts and so on to arise in our mind, which would then give rise to further distracted thoughts and then further anger and greed and so on, we create a clear thought, a thought which is clear, which is devoid of delusion, which is devoid of darkness. And this is rising. It's a thought which arises in our mind and replaces the distracted, unwholesome, errant thoughts, the thoughts which lead us down the wrong path. And we find our thoughts not leading us anywhere. Our thoughts are keeping us in the present moment, allowing us to see clearer and clearer about the reality around us. And so this topic today is one of very great importance for meditators, and one that we should always keep in mind, that what we're on the lookout for as we practice rising, falling, is we're on the lookout for greed, we're on the lookout for anger, and most especially we're on the lookout for delusion. If anger is overwhelming, we can take a break and send loving kindness. If we feel angry or frustrated or bored or so on, we can send love, wishing ourselves to be happy, wishing for all beings to be happy. If we find ourselves practicing and are confronted by lust, we can take a break and consider the repulsiveness of our body and the other bodies. Maybe if we have lust towards someone else's body, we can see, well, actually, this is only because of our conditioning, the conditioning in the genes and the hormones which exist in the body. There's really no reason for that, and there's no guarantee, or there's no possible way really that it could lead to peace and happiness and satisfaction if I chase after this thing, this object of my attraction, because it is something which has old age, which has sickness, which has death, as its final resting place. It is not something which is free from dissolution. And so we look at things in this way. And these two meditations, these sort of alternative meditations, they do away with greed and anger temporarily and allow us to continue the deeper practice, which is the practice to do away with delusion. And at the moment when we say rising, when we say falling, we're creating the clear thought and replacing the deluded thought, the dark, the ignorant thought, which is giving rise ever and again to more greed and more anger, more frustration, more hatred, and more lust and more desire, keeping us from being content, keeping us from being at peace. When we're able to keep our minds and be simply content with keeping our minds in the present moment, this is when our life will truly have value and will truly seem to be really and truly satisfying to us. It is something which the meditators who come to practice here can see for themselves and are often able to remark for themselves at how very real the results are of Vipassana meditation. But at the moment when we are practicing, there seems to be no goal and there seems to be no external path. That simply all we're simply doing is coming back to the present moment and letting go of our ambitions and our needs and our desires and our views, and coming back to nature, coming back to reality. And so this is an very important topic, something for us to keep in mind when we practice, and to always be trying to bring our minds back to the present moment, not being content that we're practicing 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, how many hours a day, but how many moments are we clearly aware of the present moment. And when these moments gather together, they will bring us to higher and higher clarity and understanding until finally we're able to break through the darkness and into the light and see clearly about the world around us at all times. And this is the Lord Buddha's teaching on vinotana pahatapa, to be doing away with or dispelling of the unwholesome thoughts which arise, as a means of doing away with the asava, as a means of cleansing the mind of its impurities, and purifying the mind of the things which make it go sour or go bad. And this is the talk for today.